thank you to the choir for that encouraging word, and thank you to Susan McCormick for singing and playing the piano along with our worship service today. So thank you. So we're going to continue in John chapter 17, and near the end of Jesus' prayer for his disciples, starting in verses 20 to 22, listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "I ask not only on behalf of these," his disciples, "but also on behalf of all of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. Well, it's springtime in Texas, right? Who doesn't love springtime in Texas? It's way better than springtime in Paris. I haven't been. I just know it's true. I love that, like, every day is blue skies and sunny and, like, 75 degrees. I love the red buds blooming and the daffodils blooming and the birds chirping and how the pollen just breezes around gently in our lives, right? It's definitely my favorite season in Texas. Springtime in Texas is my favorite season in Texas. It just makes you want to go down to Lady Bird Lake and, like, kayak with 300 other South by Southwesterners, right? So lovely. So I wanted to talk a little bit about creation, because we are being assaulted by the beauty of God's creation right now in our life. And so I wanted to talk about that, and I want to talk about the purpose of God's creation, especially for Presbyterians or those of us from a Reformed tradition. So just so you know, the purpose of creation is not to just show off the handiwork of God, though that is true, it does, right? So creation does show off the handiwork of God, all the amazing things that God can create. But that's not the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is not to, like, wow us, right, with blue bonnets and Texas sunsets and cows who have horns the size of Cadillacs attached to their head. All of that is amazing, but we're not just supposed to go wow. The purpose of God's creation is to reveal Christ's presence to us. The purpose of creation is actually to reveal that Christ is with us. And you're wondering, now how did Jesus get in my blue bonnets? Like, how does that work? So let's start with the creation story as it's found in John 1. That's right. John has a creation story at the beginning of his gospel. John 1, verse 1 and following. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all things that came to be through him. So when you read that passage, the best thing to do is to replace the word Word with Jesus. And it's easier to understand. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was God, and Jesus was with God, and all things that came to be through Jesus. That's a creation story. And what we learn in that is, number one, in the beginning, Jesus was. Now, this was like news to me. I just recently found this out when I was reading a book, and I did not realize that Jesus was there at the beginning of creation. Before anything was, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they were. So in the beginning, Jesus was. And then what does John tell us? All things that came to be through Jesus. And so that's how the Creator gets into the creation, because Jesus created it all. Like, the live oaks and the duck-billed platypi and all of it was created by God. So now let's go to Genesis, okay? So that's our new, we had a New Testament creation story. Now let's go to Old Testament creation story, Genesis. Genesis 1, God is creating. God creates something on a day, and he says it's good. It's poetry. God said it was good. God creates, it's good. God creates, it's good. It's a beautiful poem. On day 6, God creates, the animals and the humans on day six. And in verse 26, we have like one of the coolest things. It's a mention of the Trinity right there in verse 26. It's like mystery. It's amazing. It says, so verse 26, God said, "And let us create humankind in our own image, in our likeness." It's the holy "let us." It's plural. It's the Trinity. There they are, right there, Genesis 1 in your Bibles. So we've got Jesus right here ready to create creation and as the creator of the creation, because John says all things that came to be through him. So why is it important that Jesus is the creator of creation? Well, it's important, at least to me, because I feel so close to God in creation, and maybe you do too. I mean, I love being a pastor, but sometimes, and maybe even most times, I feel closer to God out in creation than I do in a building. I don't even know if it's okay for a pastor to say that, but I love like organized religion. I love sanctuaries. I love, you know, liturgy and amazing choir anthems. I love it all, but I also feel really close to God in nature, and maybe you're like that too. And so I wanted to talk about that this morning, because you need to know that that is a totally reformed and appropriate experience to have as a Christian. In fact, some theologians like Jürgen Moltmann would say that when we feel close to God in creation, it's our memory of walking with God in the Garden of Eden. So think back to Genesis again, if you've ever read Genesis. In chapter 2, what are the humans up to? It's a different story. It's not the poem anymore. It's a story. And the humans, Adam and Eve, are walking with God in the garden in the cool of the morning. It's one of my favorite images of us and God. We're walking together in the garden in the cool of the morning. But then what happens? The humans screw it up, right? There's a tree, we're not supposed to touch it, but we do, and we eat the fruit, we share it with each other, and then, boom, we're banished from the garden, and we're out of relationship with God. But people like Moltmann would say, like, when we feel close to God in creation, it's that memory in our hearts that we used to walk with God in the garden, and we were like best friends forever, and so we remember that in our hearts. And so what you need to know today is that when you experience God in creation, when you look at a blue bonnet and your heart is strangely warmed, that is Jesus Christ showing up in your life. That feeling, that moment is Jesus the Creator coming to you in and through his creation. That's what it's all about. Now, here's where we can go wrong. So we can go wrong on this one when we become deists. Okay, deists are people that believe in God, a deity, but they believe in what we call the clockwork God. So deists believe that God created like physics and weather patterns and biology and all that cool stuff, mathematics, and God just wound her up and let her go. That's deism, that God just stepped back and said, okay, let's see how this one works. But that's not what we believe as Christians, right? I mean, Jesus, right? So we got God comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and is busy in our life, present, doing stuff, listening to our prayers, helping, fixing, healing. We've got an active and present God. We're not deists. But when we look at creation, we go a little deist. Because when we look at creation and we see a beautiful blue bonnet, we say, oh, it's a present from God. God, thank you for the present of blue bonnets. They're just so lovely. But a Christian should look at a blue bonnet and when their heart is strangely warm, say, whoa, hello, Jesus. Blue bonnets are the presence of God. They're not a present. They're the presence of God in our midst. Texas sunsets, when we're like, wow, I got to take a picture of that one. That's the presence of God in our midst. Don't be a deist when you look at creation. It's Jesus. You should say, hello, Lord. Thanks for saying hi to me today, because that's what it's all about. So creation is not for inspiration. Creation is when we are encountered by the living Lord and we are empowered by that encounter. And we often give praise to God in response for that encounter. So the Celtic Christians got this. The Celtic Christians totally knew that Jesus Christ came to them and in and through his creation. That's what they are all about. But I feel like we have lost that theology in the life of our church, and it's something I'm really passionate about bringing it back. But the ancient Celtic Christians lived in the 5th through 12th centuries in like Ireland, Brittany, Isle of Man, Wales, Scotland, those places, right? And they felt close to God in creation. And you know this because this is what you talked about on Friday night over pints of Guinness on St. Patrick's Day. You talked all about the Celts and their mysterious Trinitarian ways. You already know this, but I'm just reminding you of how they were. So St. Patrick was a Celtic Christian. He would have lived in like the 5th-ish century. And he is my favorite missionary because Patrick grew up like with his people over there, and then he was a slave and he had to go. But then he came back as a missionary for the Roman church. St. Patrick was a huge missionary, converted people, but he was so kind about their culture. He was respectful about their culture. He listened to their stories and their belief and then showed them how Jesus was already with them in their midst in the ways that they already were in this world. He's a very respectful missionary. I love St. Patrick. And so St. Patrick knew this. And so I included some Celtic prayers in our worship today because I wanted you to see all about how they experienced Christ in creation. So our call to worship was actually from St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. And a breastplate prayer is a lorica, and it's what you pray like before you go into battle. And the idea is you pray this, and it's a very, very long prayer. You just got a snippet. You pray this, and St. Patrick is like praying that all of the powers of creation, the firmness of rock, the swiftness of lightning, you know, all of that Jesus in creation would empower him for his day. If you Google breastplate of St. Patrick, it's a killer prayer. If you prayed that every day, you would be like, you would feel invincible every morning. It's an awesome prayer. But that's what the Celts, right? That's where the Celts were coming from. And so when we look at their cross, and I forgot to bring my Celtic cross today, but I have a Celtic cross on my desk, and it's a cross with a circle in it. Every Celtic cross has a circle because they want their symbol to show that the circle is earth or creation. So they always bind Christ to creation, even in their symbolism. And so when the Celts experienced Jesus Christ in creation, they called it a thin place. And we've talked about the thin places before because I love them. The thin places are just the moments in your life when the line between heaven and earth gets very thin. You have a God moment. It's when the eternal stuff breaks in to your everyday life. That's a thin place. We need the thin places of life. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that we needed moments in this life when the eternal breaks in to our everyday life. We need moments in our life where we sense Christ's presence is with us. Because life is hard, right? I mean, we need to know that Christ is with us. And that's what chapter 17 is about. Chapter 17 in the Gospel of John is a prayer, a whole chapter that is a prayer Jesus prays on behalf of the disciples, that they might experience heaven breaking into earth all the time in their life. This is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus says such a beautiful prayer and such a long prayer for the disciples. And when he prays for the disciples, he's not just praying for the 12. What does he say? He says, and I read it to you, he says, I'm praying for my 12 disciples, but all the disciples who come after them because of their ministry. And so Jesus prays for us in chapter 17, and one of the things he prays is that we might sense his presence all the time in our lives. Jesus prays, he says, and this is eternity, that they might know you, God, the one true God, and me, Jesus Christ, the one whom you have sent. He says, that's how they're going to know eternity, that they know you, God, and they know me because you sent me. And how do we know God? How do we know Jesus? When Jesus encounters us, especially in his creation. And then in verse 20, he will say, God, you are in me and I'm in you. But guess what, God? They're in us and we are in them. That's a beautiful piece of scripture. Verse 20, chapter 17, verse 20. God is in Jesus, Jesus in God, but we are in Jesus and God, and they are in us. That's beautiful. That's what the thin places in creation are all about. I get it. This is heavy Trinitarian theology. This is hard stuff to explain in a sermon, but when it comes to Christ's presence always being with us, the blue bonnets preach this sermon very well. Let us pray. God, you are a mystery that you could create and then be with us in and through your creation. Lord, we need to know that you are with us. Maybe today we have a special need for your presence because we're struggling with something in our life. As we go out into your beautiful creation this week, may you shine through it that we might be reminded that you abide in us and we abide in you, that you are present with us always through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the one in whom all things were created. Amen. Please stand and join me in a little piece from the Brief Statement of Faith. It was written in the 1980s, and it talks about how we trust in God. Join me. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. Join us in verses 1, 2, 3, and 6 of All Creatures.